In 1871, the composer Giuseppe Verdi set his opera Aida in the glory days of the pharaohs. It premiered in Egypt to mark the unveiling of Cairo's new opera house and the opening of the Suez Canal. Judith Kempner reports on spectacle and militarism in Aida.
Both traditional opera and traditional warfare involve drama, ritual, heroes, martyrs, and masses of spear carriers. Aida has been performed in the history of the Metropolitan Opera more than any other work, and it seems especially relevant today because it's about armies battling in the desert. William Berger, author of Verdi with a Vengeance.
The music that Verdi used to create this framework of war for Aida is totally unforgettable and has seared itself onto the communal unconscious, you might say. People know the triumphal march from Aida. It's just something that's known.
It's not his greatest music. It's populist.
Stephen Blyer, leading accompanist and vocal coach, teaches at the Juilliard School.
It's supposed to appeal to the common man and make war seem kind of heroic. That's the message that Verdi is saying, is that we're selling this war to these people to show how people are manipulated by politics, essentially.
At the beginning of the opera, a messenger comes in and says Egypt has been invaded by Ethiopia. The king of Egypt, addressing his people, goes into powerful public relations mode. He tells them, our fields have been laid waste, our crops burned, and they get riled up for action.
We have a chorus that's screaming, guerra, guerra, war, war. And Verdi's attitude towards this is that these people are bloodthirsty. They're so bloodthirsty that even Aida, who is a slave and an Ethiopian, joins in. She finds herself screaming for war against her own people. And also it's her lover, who's been chosen to be the head of the army.
The fighting happens off stage. The next thing we know is the parade of spoils, with the Egyptians glorifying in their plunder. There's a scary moment in the current Met production when in amongst the real horses, a chariot and shackled prisoners of war, there's a cart with a mound of bodies piled face down. There's a sense of, look what we got. This European opera is much loved in the country it was romanticising, says Egyptian Nimet Habashi, a classical music radio host. Habashi says her homeland is even jingoistic about Aida.
When I was growing up, the news every night on the radio was preceded by the march from Aida. So I would almost have to admit that it's one of the first pieces of music I ever learned or knew, and I still roll my eyes a little bit when I hear it because I think of it in that context. And I gather today, for example, that piece is still played before a football game in Egypt.
Throughout the opera, the chorus and the leads sing Gloria al Egito, Gloria to Egypt. The patriotism in the opera has often been fodder for politicians. For Mussolini, it was useful because it was about going to war against Ethiopia, which reflected his own ambitions. He even called his daughter Aida. But in the end, this opera is about romance triumphing over war. Essentially, Aida is a desperate triangle. The Ethiopian slave and the Egyptian princess are in love with the Egyptian general, who should marry the princess, but loves Aida. It's just like a classic American epic, says William Berger.
It's very much like Gone with the Wind, which is about war but isn't. But it shows the other people, like Ashley and everybody at the barbecue at 12 Oaks, starts going, whoopee, there's a war. But it acknowledges that sort of group hysteria that comes out at the beginning of a war.
And as in Gone with the Wind, the focus here is on two women against the backdrop of war. Aida's first words on stage are, alas, I have heard the frightful war cry sound. The princess, who has the last lines of this tragic opera, rebukes her militaristic government and cries out, I pray for peace. For Studio 360, I'm Judith Kampfner.